Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with...
Hi, Thomas J. Ryan. I'm an actor in A View from the Bridge at the Kennedy Center. I play Alfieri in that play.
It is an Arthur Miller play, I believe after Death of a Salesman he wrote it. I believe it was after. And it runs at the Kennedy Center starting tomorrow through December 3rd. So only a couple weeks, so you better go out and get your tickets now. Just saying. Before we dive in, thanks so much. And why don't you just sort of give us a basic plot summary? Because you and I know what it's about, but just for those that
might
not know.
Well, the play was written in the mid-50s. It is about a family, working class family in Red Hook, Brooklyn, which in the 50s was sort of a slum, now is sort of a very desirable place to live. That's Brooklyn.
So that's the view from the bridge, Brooklyn Bridge.
And view from the bridge refers to those of us who don't live in a slum or didn't at that time, would drive on the Brooklyn Bridge over this neighborhood and look down into it. And that's the point of view that the play takes, looking on this community of people. In the play, this family and some cousins of the family from Italy come over as immigrants to work on the docks and live with this family, and hijinks ensue.
Gotcha. So you mentioned the docks. It's got a lot of, I guess, what do you say, longshoremen, stevedores, whatever the phrase is.
Yeah.
I believe I read somewhere that Kazan, who made On the Waterfront, the film, a couple years later, was interested in maybe doing something with Arthur Miller on this, but I don't know if it ever materialized, but I think it might have influenced some of On the Waterfront, so there's that. But take us how that's sort of a fascinating, anyone that's seen On the Waterfront or now this,
it's
a fascinating setting. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same community. Miller went through a period, I think, in the mid-50s. He wrote this right as he was dating Marilyn Monroe. Mm-hmm. So he was just come off of the enormous success of Death of a Salesman, and there was a certain kind of interest that he had politically as well. This was around the time of the HUAC trials or before that, and he was interested in the real working class and
the laborers
on the docks in Brooklyn. And certainly the screenplay for On the Waterfront became an extension of what this play is. And these people are working class. They have great humanity. They screw things up like the rest of us do, but they get up every morning and they work. And this man, Eddie Carbone, who's the central character in the play, has raised his cousin, his niece, his wife's sister's daughter after her mother had died. He's brought this girl up, and she's now 17 or 18, and he's beginning to feel some, perhaps, inappropriate feelings for her.
Ah, so a little forbidden romance there.
Okay. Absolutely, complicated by the young immigrant guys who come in to stay with them in the house. So everybody's in this house together, and
it blows up.
It does.
Is his relationship with Marilyn? How do you think the Marilyn Monroe, Arthur Miller thing plays into that?
I don't know. Anything? I've thought about it because of getting ready to do it. I read Time Bends, which is his memoir. And he's pretty open about the Monroe relationship in that book. And it's very much at the same time. I just did The Crucible this year in New York with the same director. I did The Crucible on Broadway. And
you survived.
More than survived. Thrived.
Awesome.
There's always a lot of talk about women in Miller plays. Mm-hmm. And he made a draft of View from the Bridge in which the wife character, Eddie's wife, much more diminished part. And then he revised the entire play and focused more on the character of the wife and what her response was to what she was watching. So I think Miller took his female characters became more and more complex as he went on and on in his writing.
I did read that Miller, I believe I read that this was originally a one-act play, and
yes,
it wasn't successful.
That's
and
right.
So he went back and did it a two-act structure, right? Why do you think that was?
I don't know, but it was that one act that you refer to was produced in England, interestingly. And I know that he has said he wanted to expand the female character, as I spoke about. Also, he thought that was a very bad production, whatever it was in that one act form, and he really wanted to explore it like a Greek tragedy. Mm-hmm. You know, Eva, when you see this production, you will say, "Oh, it's got the feel of a very combustive sort of Greek inevitable tragedy." That's true. But, you know, Miller himself really saw the play that way and was very, very, very much said that he was waiting for the production that would embrace that element of it. And I think he's got it. His daughter thinks he has it now in our production. We'll see.
Yeah. Oh, she's in. Wait, explain the daughter's connection.
Well, here. Rebecca Miller now is in complete charge of the Miller estate. So anything you want, if you're doing a Miller play, whether you're a high school or whether you're Broadway, you any changes you want to make to the script have to be approved by her.
Did not know that.
Yes, yes. In fact, in The Crucible, when we were in previews and the play was running too long, because, you know, you have these guys on Broadway who are the crew guys, and they get paid more than anybody else in the building. And so the show can't go on beyond 11 o'clock. If the show doesn't end at 11 o'clock, you have to pay those guys overtime.
Right.
So, you know, the producers are always like, well, you figure out a way. I don't care what you do, but this show is not going to come down after 11. So there were a lot of cuts made, and she would not approve them. And so we were sort of stuck. Do we, you know, and eventually Scott Rudin convinced her. He's a convincing kind of guy.
I'd say.
And we did that. But she saw this production and she was very flattered by this production.
So the specter of Rebecca hangs over the thing. Always. Eat your heart out, Hitchcock.
Thankfully, she has good taste. Thankfully, she's got good taste.
But you're mentioning sort of the new generation and reviving this. A lot of our listeners might remember it just won 2 Tonys, right? At the 2016 ones, Best Director and Best Revival of a Play. So
that's right.
It's explain how this sort of capturing a new audience and even just as relevant today. You mentioned the working class. That's huge in politics right now. So talk about how this revival.
Well,
is
those
for
are
our
two
time.
Sort of questions. Well, we did this production in Los Angeles. And about 6-8 weeks ago, and I remember we were all saying, "Poof, it'll be really electric in Washington to be doing this play if Trump wins." And then we were like, "But never going to happen." And it would have been electric anyway because it's about immigration and deportation. But I think it's interesting. It's inevitable to watch this play now here, all of us in a room watching an immigrant character talk about why he came here and to say at one point, I just don't understand this country. It's wherever you are on the political spectrum, to me, that's really compelling thing to be looking at right now. And there are many issues, the working class, people who, you know, bust their back working for their whole lives and they don't accumulate anything. Certainly that's relevant, but the immigration issue, which is not the main thrust of the play, but it's part of the play. It moves me every night, and I think it's inevitable that it'll be particularly exciting here. Yeah.
So that's sort of the relevant themes, immigration, working class, that Miller taps into. What about Arthur Miller's, just the pure writing, the written word? What about his prose is so magical for you every night to be speaking that?
Well, you know, as with anybody really great, you know, you have things that should have are more powerful when they have ambiguities, when they don't, when they're not on the nose.
Less is more.
Less is more, and we usually, most of us, turn off to polemic kind of writing.
Yeah.
You know, here's what you should be. Like Clifford Odets was a little bit of that, you know, although I've...
Sorry, Clifford, if you're watching.
I love Clifford Odets. Maybe his daughter's going to shut me
watching.
Down now. Maybe his daughter has control of him now. But Awake and Sing or these kind of plays,
right.
Which are certainly great plays. But, you know, the politics of The View from the Bridge is seen through humanity, through the humanity of these folks. And so they're speaking very beautifully, but they're speaking not in some highfalutin language.
Right.
It's really very pared down. You believe the language as that would come out of the mouth of a working class guy. Mm-hmm. And but it's said better than any of us could say it. That's all. It's just slightly lifted up.
Yeah. If he was sitting there at that mic next to you, it would be even better than what any of us could say.
If he was sitting at that mic, I'd be terrified.
He might be, actually.
Yeah.
A view from the mic.
Yeah.
Tell me about yourself. What sort of, how did you get into acting?
Oh, you know.
Where are you from?
I'm from Pittsburgh. When I was 6, we moved to Germany. I grew up mainly in Germany.
Okay.
And I wasn't an army brat, but my dad had a job that took him there. So on the TV, when I was a kid, there was occasionally a movie in English. Occasionally. And when there was, and that movie had a child in it, I became fascinated and I wanted to be the kid in the... I didn't want to be the actor. I wanted to be the character in the story.
Right.
So that sort of started me thinking about it. And then...
What did you see? What were some of those movies?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't really remember now. But any movie that had a little boy in it, I was always fascinated. Oh! Brief Encounter.
Whoa.
Brief Encounter.
Are you talking about David Lean?
David Lean,
oh
Brief
my God.
Encounter.
What a great movie.
Yeah, a great movie, which I saw just again recently.
Yeah, same.
And that movie, they have two children. And I remember asking how that particular kid was lucky enough to be in that great story with those great parents. I don't think I realized that she was having an affair and all that.
Interesting you focus in on the kids. You know, I totally forgot about that.
Totally.
But yeah, too.
And then the other thing most actors will tell you is I didn't really have any other skills or talents.
Yeah.
So, you know, you just know you need to do it. Sort of like, oh, this is pretentious. I won't say that. Sort of like the priesthood. You're either sort of know that you really have to do it and you'll be denying yourself if you don't, or you probably shouldn't do it.
Right. So how'd you make your way? So you're in Germany then watching Brief Encounter. How do you make your way to Broadway?
Well, there were some years in between those two events.
And an ocean.
I ended up going to college for acting at Carnegie Mellon in Pittsburgh. And then I moved to New York when I was 21. I had a good 7 years when I didn't work at all. Mm. I was an actor who was never going to work until I was in my 30s, really.
Right.
And you can't tell a young person, go do something else first. You're so anxious to jump in. And so I moved to New York. Always had been my dream. I lived there when I was 21, and I just hammered away doing jobs and odd jobs and stuff, and then started to get a little traction, in my 30s, and then, things are going better.
Nice. Is this your first time at Kennedy Center?
No, this is my fourth time in Washington, doing a play in Washington.
What were the others?
Well, at the Kennedy Center, they did Tennessee Williams' retrospective about 10 years ago.
Cool.
And I did an evening of one act there that Michael Kahn directed. I did Hedda Gabler at the Shakespeare Theater with Judith Light. Wow. And that was like 15, 16 years ago now. And I just most recently, two, 3 years ago, did a play called Red Speedo at the Studio Theater, a new play.
Cool.
We should talk for just a second about this director, because this director is... the greatest director working. I don't want to oversell it, but I put it out there. He is a genius Belgian director. I've worked with him four times, and his view on this View from a Bridge very deservedly won him the Tony Award. It's a really elemental kind of production. We don't have any scenery like in a house or anything. Mm-hmm. We're just in a box doing this play It's the clearest telling of the play. It's the fastest through line to the play. And it is really heart-stoppingly exciting. It's. I'm so proud to be in it.
What makes him so great as a director? Like, I'm always curious what actors, look for.
Well, before I had worked with him, when I had seen his work, it's sort of, it's very violent. It's very passionate. It's very direct. And I was very intimidated by the idea of working with him because I thought he was going to be one of these European... what's the word I'm looking for? Sort of violent, brutal, narcissistic, difficult director, tyrant. And he was quite the opposite, very loving to actors. And he knows what he asks of actors is very difficult. And it is, you'll see if you see the piece. He asks everyone to go to 180%. But he's worth it, and you want to please him because he has insight into the play textually and in every other way that is just really, really clear. If I want to beat you up, I'm not going to take a moment to try to say it in some way. I'm just going to leap across.
You're just going to come across this switchboard.
Leap across this switchboard.
See, Kelly, watch out. There's like going to be blood all over there. It's going to be nasty. I mean, he threw out the warning.
That's right. He's that kind of director.
Well, thanks for going 180% with us in here.
Sure.
This is great. Again, guys, it's A View from the Bridge.
Please come.
Starting tomorrow, November 18th.
Oh, can I say one more thing?
Yeah.
There are seats on the stage. There's the usual Kennedy Center configuration, but then we have seats on both sides of the action on the stage. They're great, and they're cheaper. And they're actually the best seats in the house.
How do you get those?
You just call up. They're on the site. But people, I think, are afraid we're going to ask them to participate or something. But they're the cheapest, and it's a very intimate play. It's a great place
just
to
say,
watch.
Call up and say, I want the special seats. I want the view from the stage.
That's right. I want the view from the bridge and the stage.
A view from the bridge from the stage. Starting tomorrow, November 18th through Saturday, December 3rd. Thank you so much for coming in.
My pleasure.